Well, good evening. It is good to be here. I know it's a Wednesday night. We've had a long day of work. We're tired. So my prayer this afternoon was, and still is, that God would allow something that comes from my mouth this evening to sink into your life, into your heart, that we can all grow. That's my prayer this evening. I've titled my message this evening, Genuine. Some people say genuine, but genuine faith is the way I'm going to say it this evening. Genuine faith. What's that word mean, genuine? It means truly what something is said to be or authentic. Faith. Real faith. Genuine faith. I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now we're here, Dana mentioned we're here for council meeting. Preparatory service. And I want to make you thankful this evening, right up front here. I talked to a brother at work, an Amish brother, and he told me he was at council meeting last Sunday. He was visiting at a church, and they asked him to have the main message. And he said, I preached for 3 hours. So I want to make you thankful this evening. I'm not going to preach 3 hours tonight. Dana thinks 2.5? Okay. But I hope what God gives us this evening will be a blessing, will search us, will try us a little bit, shake us a little bit, and draw us a little closer to the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to go to verse 5. Now this verse says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Let's back up a little bit and just think a little bit about where I just broke into a chapter here. There was an individual here that was causing some issues. If we go back into Corinthians a little further. And it seems like Paul was kind of, I don't think he was shaken. But yet in chapter 13, he talks about, this is the third time that I like to come to you. He was with them for about 1.5 years at the beginning when the church was planted. Then he went back another time. And there's some things happening here. There's some sins that he saw the second time he came around. And there's some things happening. So finally Paul is saying, now if I come again the third time, I'm not going to be as easy on you. If I come the third time and I still see these sins there, we're going to work on them. So Paul was, I kind of get the idea that he was coming back to them and saying, you examine yourselves. You've been looking at me. I want you to examine yourselves. It's kind of the idea I get here. And we're here for council meeting. It happens every 6 months. We go through this. And I don't want this to be a 6-month checkup. We get these cards from the dentist every so often that says, now it's time to come back for another teeth cleaning. Or tooth cleaning if you have one. Now it's time to come back for another cleaning. 6 months has gone by. You need your teeth cleaned again. I don't want that to be this. Yes, it's very important. He does talk about examining ourselves before communion. But I want us to take tonight what I share, and I want us to put this into our everyday life, the whole examining process. I grew up in a situation, I don't say this against the situation I grew up in, and I cannot point fingers at anybody, but when communion time came along, it was a time to hide things. It was a time to put things away for a while until communion was over. And then either you rebuy or bring things back out that you had before. That's not what we're looking for. What we're talking about this evening, the whole examining process, is something we need to do every day. I saw something interesting. We were at an airport. We were waiting for a flight. And I was watching out the window, and there was a jet parked there. And I looked, and there was an officer down there, which I believe was a pilot, in his uniform. And he was under that jet walking around looking at the wings. And he walked around. He looked the whole bottom of that jet over. And my thinking is, that's good. He's examining the jet before takeoff. We do that when there's a private pilot with a small plane. They do that. They have their little jar. They go around, they poke into the wings where the gas is at to let some gas run in, make sure there's no water in it. They take their hands over the plane where the rivets are at, making sure the rivets are all tight. They're examining this plane to make sure it flies. Maybe this is something we need to do in our everyday walk. To take some time every day just to examine. Am I in the faith? Am I living according to what the Word of God says? Not according to what I think, but according to what the Word of God says. Examine yourselves. I'd like to read this verse in another translation. NLT says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. How many of you like tests? I don't like tests. Vaughn and I took a class on church building. Church planting. I was okay through the whole class. It was a week. I enjoyed it. I loved it. But the last day we were there, we had a test. And when it was time for that test, my face got all hot. I got all nervous. Vonda didn't take the test. She stepped out, and I think she was out there busily praying for me. But I hated tests. I sat there and I did that test, and I thought to myself, I'm going to hand this paper in. Alan Roth was our teacher. I'm going to give him the paper. I'm leaving. I never want to see him again. Because I knew I'm going to flunk the class. I don't like tests. By the way, I got a 98%. Satan has a way of making us think, doesn't he? He sure does. Let's get back to our verse. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. That's a phrase that should shake all of us. You have failed the test of genuine faith. So examine is to test, to scrutinize, to prove. And look at this verse. The first two words says, examine yourselves. Actually, I have three translations here. And each one of these translations says the exact same thing at the beginning. Examine yourselves, examine yourselves, examine yourselves. It does not say, Howard, examine somebody else. It says, examine yourselves. It's so easy, I'm speaking for myself, to sit and examine somebody else's life instead of mine. Because it's so much easier for me to point, and it makes me feel good about myself. Here he says, examine yourselves. It's not the other person, it's yourself. It's what he's asking us to do here. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. And he talks about at the end of that verse, he talks about except ye be reprobates. A reprobate is a castaway, somebody that's been rejected, somebody that's worthless. But it is to look closely to make sure all is in good condition. Is there anything that needs changing? There is no shame in change. If you don't change in your spiritual walk, you're probably not testing. Because as we continue our spiritual walk, and we get tested, or we test to see whether we're in the faith, we check to see where we're at, we're going to see as we continue reading Scripture, spending time with the Lord on our knees, in the Word, we're going to see areas where we're going to have to change. We've come short, so we make some changes. That's good. There is absolutely no shame in change. Change is good. Is there something that can be better? Like I said before, it needs to be a daily practice. And I know for myself, it's so easy to get busy at work that we forget. Today, as I was working, all of a sudden the thought came to me, you know, I haven't spent much time today praying as I'm working. I have so much time. I'm busy working there, but I get my mind onto my work and I forget about God. I forget about prayer. You know how much time that I have, maybe you have, throughout the day in your work that you could be praying for a brother or sister? That you could be praying for the body? Speaking for myself here. And it's good. It's good for us to be busy, but it's not good for us to get so busy that we forget the Lord. Something that we need to be very conscious of. We need a very close relationship with Him. Everything we do, everything we are, needs to be directed by Him and for Him. And it looks like the Corinthians have forgotten here about a closeness maybe that some of them had. There was sin there, and Paul was ready to deal with the sin that was there. Is my faith real? Now, I could go up and down. You could do the same thing. We could walk through the crowd here this evening, and I could ask you, is your faith real? You can say yes or no. I remember working over at Yoder's. They had a little tester, temperature. We call it a thermometer. A little thermometer that they had for the meat. And it had a little red, I'm not sure what they call it. But a little red thing that shot into the meat, or else they used a probe. And it told them exactly what the temperature was of that meat. What if we had a little tester like that, that we could walk up and down through the aisles, we could go back here and we could check, let's see if we're really hot or not. Let's see if we're on fire for the Lord. We can see by our actions, by our works, sometimes. Now imagine if I came here this evening. And this is the way I would have began my message here. I would have told you that if you want to be right with God, there's some things that you have to do. You need to quit gossiping. Want to be right with God? Quit gossiping. If you want to be right with God, you need to not slander anymore. Slandering has to stop. If you want to be right with God, you need to quit judging people. If you want to be right with God, you get overcome that anger issue that you have in your life. If you want to be right with God, you have to overcome materialism. Imagine if that's how I started the message here tonight. Let me ask you a question about each one of those issues that I just talked about. If you have a neighbor that's an unbeliever, can he be an overcomer in every one of these situations? Yes or no? All right, let me back up. If you have a neighbor that's not a believer, and each one of these issues that I mentioned here, do you think he could be an overcomer in each one of these issues, each one of these sins that I mentioned, even though he's not a believer? Yes, he could. So that tells me, if I come to you with that idea, if you want to be right with God, get rid of these, that's not correct, is it? I'd like for it to be, but that's not correct. Yes, these are things that we want to be overcomers in. But there's something that I've been learning in the last while. And that is, I can change my behavior to where it looks really, really good. But my heart has not been changed. If my heart has not been changed, it's nothing but behavior modification. And that's not very deep. It's not enough. Those are all good things. Those are all things that we need to grow. We need to overcome. But if the heart has not been changed, it's just like my unbelieving neighbor. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Romans 8, verse 10 and 11. I'd just like to read these, and then we're going to go into doing a little test here this evening. Romans 8, 10 and 11 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Delton, could I have a glass of water, please? I'd like to do a little test here this evening. And I'm going to use that test on myself, and I'd like for you to do this test also. I have three questions I want to ask this evening. We're going to look at a little bit of Scripture. And these are questions that have to do with examining our spiritual walk. Where are we at with the Lord? As I was thinking about questions, what kind of questions do you ask as far as examining our spiritual walk? There are so many different directions that we could go. So don't think this is an all-inclusive test this evening. There's just a few questions to get us to think a little bit. The first question I have is, do I forgive easily? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 8, and I misquoted myself. I said there was somebody that was against Paul in 2 Corinthians 13. That's actually here in 2 Corinthians 2. There was a gentleman here, somebody, actually I'm not sure if it says if it was male or female, but somebody that was causing issues. 2 Corinthians 2, 8 says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. So we have this person that's creating an issue. It's making difficulties in the church. Finally, Paul says he was opposed enough. Now it's time for you to forgive him and to comfort him. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm or reaffirm your love toward him. We've all had to forgive. Thank you, Delton. We've all had to forgive, and we still do. We always do. But is my life at the place, or am I working towards, when I'm offended, when I'm hurt, that I don't hold something against somebody, but that I forgive? Am I in the faith? Forgiveness is part of our everyday walk. Forgiveness is difficult for me, I'll be honest with you. Forgiveness is difficult. But Jesus says I need to forgive. Let's continue with this question. Is my love for God alive and flourishing? So if it's alive and flourishing, forgiveness is going to come. And also if it's alive and flourishing, there's something else that's going to show up in my life. Let's balance. Let's weigh these two here. Is my love for God, the things of God, is it a desire or is it a daily chore? Let's imagine we had a balance here. And in my life, is my love for God a desire that I have, an enjoyment, or is it a daily chore? Which way is this balance going to go? Revelation 3 talks about the church in Laodicea. They became lukewarm. I think their desire wasn't like it should have been. They became lukewarm. And Jesus said, if this is the way it's going to be, he said, I'm going to spew you or puke you out of my mouth. It's not beautiful. It's not beautiful. Jesus' desire for us is to be on fire for him. To be refreshing. To be useful. The church in Laodicea wasn't very refreshing. It was lukewarm. So is my love for God alive and flourishing? Do I forgive easily? That was our first question. Nobody's going to test you here this night, tonight. This is your test. This is for you to answer in your heart. Question number two. Am I finding joy and encouragement in my daily time in the Word and prayer? Am I finding joy and encouragement in my daily time in the Word and prayer? I heard a preacher say today, he said, everybody needs to get noisy in prayer from time to time. He said, find a place that you can go to and get noisy. Talk to God. Let him know how you feel. I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but if you haven't, I challenge you to try it. There's something about getting before the Father. Not always on my knees, but there's times I love to walk around and talk to God as I'm walking and spill my heart to Him and hear from Him. And in the middle of all my prayer, there's an honor and a glory that goes out. Get noisy with God. I hope you understand where I'm at here. There's times to be quiet before the Father and to talk to Him in quietness. But what we're really looking at, am I finding joy in my time with the Father? Am I encouraged when I leave the Scriptures? Does it give me life to continue? This is what He desires of us. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts." I love that phrase. Hath shined in our hearts. My heart, your heart. He knows your heart. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We all reflect someone or something. Jesus is shining His love into our hearts if we are believers, as we are walking with Him. Do others see that joy in my life? Do others see what's happening? Do they sense there's something going on? I like to watch people's eyes. Eyes tell you a lot about a person. You can often tell if a person is downcast, if there's something bugging them, or if there's joy coming from within because of their eyes. What are your eyes telling us tonight? What are my eyes telling you tonight? What about my face? I know we go through some difficult times. Please understand me here. But is it okay for a Christian to walk around with a long, drug-out, unhappy face? I guess I give that as a challenge. This morning as I was walking into work, I thought to myself, wonder what people are thinking. I was tired. I was half asleep. Maybe that's what they thought about me this morning. What's with the long face? But I challenge us this morning, what's reflecting off of our face, in our eyes? And if I'm encouraged, as I'm in the Word, am I sharing that encouragement with those around me? I shared with can't say it's a brother, I don't think he's a believer. But there's a guy from work that left last Thursday, and he said they're hoping to have a baby this weekend. They were having some difficulties, and they're hoping to have a baby this weekend. And I found out they did have their baby. It was a C-section, and he's not back at work yet. But before he left, I told him, I says, I want to pray for you. And I don't know what he thought. I have no clue, but he thanked me. Is his love reflecting, am I encouraging those not just believers, but unbelievers? Is His love reflecting off of me? Out of me? As we walk with Him, as we grow close to Him, that should get better. Third question, the third test that I'd like to ask us here this evening. Am I experiencing His power within me by His Spirit? Let me read that again. Am I experiencing His power within me by His Spirit? When I want to test a battery at home, I will take out a small tester that I have out of my toolbox, and I'll flick the little switch over to where it should be. I'll touch the positive and the negative, and I'll have a readout, and it'll tell me exactly what that battery is putting out. If the battery is no good, it's going to show a low number. If the battery is good, it's going to show a high number. But I have a bunch of batteries there in my shop, and most of them kind of look the same, don't they? But the tester that I put on it tells me what the battery is doing. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that He, talking about God, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I'm going to read that in NLT. It says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources. Let's just back up here for a little bit. In the King James, it says that He, God, would grant you, grant is to give, you, that's you and me, that He would give us, that He would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, or according to His unlimited resources. Our resources are limited. I don't care who's sitting in here this morning. If you spend long enough, you're going to run out of money. Your resources are limited. His resources are unlimited. There is no end. There's no bottom. They're unlimited. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. There is no end to that inner strength that He can give us through His Spirit. Sometimes we limit Him. There is no bottom to that with God. The inner strength that He gives us through His Spirit. Hebrews 10:22 says this. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. Drawing close. When I draw near to something, I get close to it. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, if we think back to the Old Testament, how they took the blood and they sprinkled it onto the sacrifices. Our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies are washed with pure water. This gives me a picture of somebody that has their sins forgiven, that is pure before the Father with the purity that He's given us. That robe of righteousness that He's given us is put on. Then it says in verse 23, He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, a living hope. Without wavering, without any doubt, without any question. Hold on to that faith that He's given us. Then listen to this last phrase that He gives us here. He says, for He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. He's not going to back out of the deal. He's faithful. Always has been, always will be. He is faithful. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. I picked that verse, Ephesians 3. Verse 14, kind of out of the middle of the chapter also. I'd like this evening to read to you Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 19. And I'm going to ask you this evening, if it's comfortable for you, to stand. And I'd like to read this to you from a different translation. I'd like for you to stand and just bow your heads. And I'm going to read this as a prayer this evening. But as I read this, I'm not going to read it fast. I want you to think about what I'm saying. I want you to take to heart for yourself what this says in this scripture. Let's pray. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen. You may be seated.